Matthew, the sixth chapter. The article began with these words: a couple's plan for a better life has been sunk. You maybe read the article, watched the news clip, or at least heard of it as others talked of it. Nikki Walsh and her boyfriend Tanner Broadwell, ages 24 and 26 respectively, and about 2 years ago decided that they were tired of working. How can we live our lives when we're working most of the day and you have to pay so much just to live, said Nikki to the New York Post. Most of the work you do goes to your home. There has to be another option, she added. So this Colorado couple who often dreamed of taking to the seas started planning, started saving money. A year in, they both quit their jobs, sold all their possessions, and with that, plus the money they had been able to save, bought a 28-foot, 49-year-old boat in Alabama for $5,000. They spent weeks fixing up their new home, preparing it for their new lives, sailing the Caribbean, and maybe even the world as well. We want to live a minimalist lifestyle, but still be able to see the world, Broadwell told People magazine. We can go anywhere we want in the world on our own schedule as well. For Walsh, the boat was their ticket to do and see anything their hearts desired. The thing that draws us the most is the freedom, she told the magazine. Broadwell's father helped the couple learn to handle the boat over the next few months, eventually sailing it from Alabama to Florida. The couple set up shop there as they prepared for their journey. On Tuesday, February 6th, the couple said their goodbyes and set sail on what they hoped would be a long and enjoyable adventure. And it started out perfectly. The first day, we anchored outside of an island and caught the sunset and made burritos, Walsh recalls. The second day, we had dolphins swimming alongside our boat for hours. It was an amazing start to our trip. On the second night, the couple set their sights on John's Pass, a turn-of-the-century fishing village just off the coast of Florida. As they drew in towards the beach, there was fog, and the couple struggled to track the navigational buoys through it until suddenly the boat came to a halt as it smashed into an object hidden under the dark water. Water began rushing in to the cabin. Nikki Walsh and her boyfriend Tanner Broadwell grabbed their life jackets and their pug Remy and escaped into the water as they watched their belongings drift away into the darkness. I was speechless to see all my things floating and not being able to take them, Walsh says. And what was even worse is I saw my dreams going down with the boat. Everything we planned was just disappearing within minutes. The couple was soon picked up by Sea Tow, transported to shore. After they arrived on land, the couple sat on the side of the road, still in their life vests. And all Broadwell could muster was, how did I go from having everything I ever wanted to absolutely nothing? They later returned to the boat to see if any of their belongings could be salvaged. There was nothing left to save. It didn't feel real at first, Tanner said. I thought I was going to wake up and it would all be a dream. Broadwell and Walsh had no insurance on the boat. Since they left their jobs before heading out on the trip, they currently have no means of pulling in money. All they have left is the cash they managed to save before the boat capsized. They are poor, jobless, and homeless. 2 days in to what was intended to be a new life, dreams fulfilled, the adventure of a lifetime. 2 days in, and their sailboat sinks along with their plan for a better life. When I first heard the story, my heart was broken for this couple. There's probably a lot that they did wrong, maybe a lot that they would change, or maybe a lot they should have changed if they had to do it all over again. But all that set aside, here's a couple with great big dreams, and they made it happen. They did it. They went for it. They bought the boat and began their simplistic life of just sailing the ocean. And in 2 days, everything that they had saved for, everything they had planned for, everything they had invested in, it was all lost. I don't think one could help but feel sorry for them, losing everything and losing it all so soon in their journey. I wonder, do you maybe have a story like that? Probably not with a sailboat. But maybe a car? If you turned 16, went out and bought that thing of beauty that was to be for you and newfound freedom from mom and dad, and only a week in or a couple weeks in to wreck it? Maybe a house, so excited to move in only to discover that house should have been condemned rather than sold. Maybe simpler than that. Maybe a new computer, a new phone. I'm like a kid in a candy shop when it comes to how the new computer, the new phone, it just shines and the screen is so perfect. There's not a smudge. There's not a scratch on it. Only then a week or a couple weeks later, the screen is cracked. The virus has shut the thing down. Maybe the new set of dishes. After just a day, the set of eight becomes one of seven. Maybe the new carpet, the new paint on the walls, the new furniture. It looks good. It makes the house almost to be brand new until the grandkids come over or the kids have their way. And within a matter of days, the new carpet just looks like the old. Kool-Aid stains everywhere. The wall is nicked up and dinged up. The furniture, if you're like our house, the furniture, the beautiful new furniture is a beautiful art canvas for our kids. And all of a sudden, pen marks start to show up. So, that's not paper. Why do you write on that? That's our new furniture that's now not new anymore. What's your story? That thing that you saved for, planned for, invested in, maybe only to see it lost all too soon. Something new, something you so looked forward to having, something you were so proud to have, something you had waited forever to have, and not to be overly dramatic, but something that sort of became a dream fulfilled for you, only to then so soon, so quickly have it ruined, capsized and sunk, as it were. Really, it's true. When I read this story, I felt sorry. My heart broke. Everyone was okay. It wasn't really a tragedy in that sense, not a tragic story like other tragic stories that would make our hearts to grieve for people. It definitely could have been much worse. Just the idea of this couple selling everything to fulfill a dream and only get to live that dream for 2 days before everything is gone, everything is lost. Can you imagine the joy they must have felt that first day setting sail? How perfect. The sunset, the burritos, the dolphins. Can you imagine how they must have been feeling on top of the world for sure? Only a day later to be desperately hoping that what had just happened was a dream, not reality. Oh, please, let me just wake up from this. Let it all be a dream. Don't let it be for real. Only a day later to go from having everything to now nothing. It's interesting to note, the couple, though without home or job or money, they are most optimistic, and they're not giving up on sailing. The boat sank, Walsh said, but our dreams didn't sink with the boat. They'll be on the water again one day, no doubt about it. What a story. I would not be at all surprised to see it in a theater near us one day. It's that kind of story. So as I'm reading the article, there is this grief, there's this sorrow for the couple, my heart aching for them, what they've gone through, what they've lost. But then as well, there's this reminder of Scripture related to life for us as Christians. Please hear me this morning. I hope your dreams and everything you would ever hope to do and have and accomplish in this life, I hope it doesn't come to ruin at all, let alone within the first couple of days. But this morning, the reminder, the truth of the matter, the scriptural truth, the divine truth, God's truth, the truth Jesus taught and revealed and made known to his followers. The truth is this: the world, everything in it and everything of it, is temporary. It doesn't last. It's destined ultimately to end up one day in the bottom of the ocean, as it were. On the trash heap, in the junkyard, lost, gone, ruined, good for nothing. One of those little phones, I happen to think of it because I've seen it lying in our hallway for a good number of days now. One of those phones that I took such pride in. It was brand new. Oh, look at how it shines. And not as, the screen is so perfect. And now there it sits as a toy for the girls to play with, mostly to get stepped on when they don't pick it up. It doesn't work. The screen's cracked. It's good for nothing now. Listen to me this morning. Everything in and of this world, everything in and of this life has an expiration date. The things of this life, the things of this world, and can we be honest and can we call them as it is this morning? They are the things that consume so much of our time, consume so much of our energy, so much of our effort. These are the things that consume us. These are the things that we're constantly striving for. The things of this world that we've made to be our hope and our dream. Listen to me this morning, if I can say it this way. They are the sailboats of our own stories. And the truth is, whether you see it or not, whether you recognize it or not, your boat is taking on water. And whether it's 2 days in or 20 years in or even maybe a lifetime in, it's temporary. It won't last forever. It'll end up ruined. It'll end up destroyed, wrecked, lost, gone. So no wonder then the instructions of the Lord are few verses for this morning from Matthew 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Be careful before you buy the sailboat, would maybe be how we paraphrase it today, where moth and rust and fog and wind and wave and something under the surface of the dark water destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I've read the article, and though saddened by the plight of this couple, and really I am, my heart is immediately challenged by the Spirit as he takes me from the pages of the article to those of Scripture and instantaneously settles my mind and my attention on the reminder of Jesus' words in Matthew 6. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. Let me just be honest this morning. Never mind Nikki and Tanner. It's something we're all guilty of, isn't it? As I'm reading this article, I'm thinking, oh, I wish that hadn't happened to them. And yet then there's this seemingly the voice of the Spirit that speaks to my heart. But Denny, it happens to everybody who stores up for themselves treasures on earth. Because nothing of this earth is going to last forever. It's all going to end up sunk one day. Store up treasures in heaven. Something we don't nearly do enough, probably. My heart is immediately challenged and convicted by the Spirit as he seems to speak so clearly to me. The things of this world, this life, ultimately, all of it has the same end as the sailboat had. So don't invest in that. In fact, really, truth be told, the message that I sensed from the Spirit was more along the lines of, Denny, stop investing in that. Stop being so concerned by that. Stop being consumed by the things of this world, the things that are temporary, the things that don't last anyways. Invest more in the eternal things, the heavenly things. Store up for yourself treasure there, not here. I believe the poem is actually entitled Only One Life, attributed, I believe, to the great missionary C.T. Studd. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Oh, let me love with fervor, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The things of this world, the things of this life are sinking. The moth and the rust are destroying. The thieves are stealing. The reminder for us today, the message for us this morning, don't store up treasure here then. The things of heaven, divine things, godly things, no moth, no rust can ever mess those things up. No thief can take those things away from you. Those things don't sink. They aren't lost. They can't ever be ruined, wrecked, or destroyed. Those things, the things that you do for Christ, they last, in fact, forever. The reminder for us today, the message for us today, oh, it's a simple one. Store up for yourself treasure there then. This past Wednesday, the great evangelist Billy Graham died. Honestly, as I was thinking of it, especially in light of this message, I don't know that there are very many, even in fact, if any of us that could tell you anything of his income. I couldn't tell you anything of his home. I don't know if it's a mansion kind of a place or cozy and quaint sort of cabin in the woods. I don't know. I know he's written a good number of books. To my shame and regret, and something I definitely need to change, I don't think I've ever read one of them. I couldn't tell you how any of them did. I don't know if Billy Graham was a best-selling author or just an average-selling one. I have no idea. I don't know the number of cars he had in his garage, but I do know this. For Billy Graham, like the sailboat of Tanner and Nikki, the money that sustained him for 99 years of his life is gone. He doesn't have access today to one penny of it. Not one penny of his wealth went with him from here to there. Gone. The house, the cars, if there were any, the prestige, the profit from his books, gone. As much good to him now as Tanner and Nikki's sailboat is to them as it sits at the bottom of the ocean. And that's the way it is. That's the way it always will be, because those things, the things of here and now, the temporary things, the things of this life in this world, they never last. That being said, I do know this. though on Wednesday Billy Graham left all the things of this world behind, we could even say it from this perspective, lost them all, watched as all the things of this life were sunk. I do know this. He was welcomed to heaven by the Father's own voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he was welcomed, no doubt, by thousands upon thousands, even millions. One article made claim 215 million people that Billy Graham preached to. Welcome, no doubt, by those who are in heaven for all eternity, all because, simply because, Billy Graham didn't live for the money, or the house, or the cars, or the books and the subsequent fame they brought him. He didn't care about the treasures here. He lived for there. He made himself to be consumed by there. He expended himself for treasures there. Rather than sailboats and the simplistic living on the ocean, he sought after souls all across this globe. He preached to the masses the wonderful, marvelous love of Jesus and his power to save. He lived for there. I read an article of Billy Graham's casket, he and his wife, simple 6-foot pine box. The article's true, simple 6-foot pine box, made by prison inmates in Louisiana, because Billy Graham preached there one time and wanted those guys to have something to do. And the warden was quoted in the article that there was nothing better for these men as a testimony of their faith than to build this 6-foot pine box for Billy Graham and for his wife. No treasure here. Because after all, what's the point? Whether it's 2 days, 2 years, 20 or 30, even if it's 99, everything of this life lost to us, gone. Only what we do for Christ that lasts. For all eternity, Billy Graham gets to wear the crown of life, the crown that lasts forever. Paul refers to it as the victor's crown. I love this. Peter calls it the glory crown. For all eternity, he gets to enjoy the Father's rest and reward. No moth, no rust. No thief to take that away. It lasts forever. For all eternity, he gets to enjoy the many treasures he stored up for himself in heaven, because those are the treasures, unlike the ones here, that do last. My question for you this morning, for all of us, where are you storing up treasure? The message this morning is a reminder. The message this morning, listen, I know it in my own life. I believe that I'm not odd in the matter, that it would be for all of us. There are times in life where we drift. I think it happens Monday through Saturday. We have a tendency to drift. It's the beauty of a Wednesday night. It's the wonder of a Sunday morning where we get together and we worship God together and we spend time praying together and we spend time in the Word together. And though maybe we drifted because we got so busy and we didn't read like we should or pray like we should, our mind wasn't tuned into God like maybe it should be. Sunday gets to bring us back to center, where we're reminded again of what life is all about, the glory and wonder that is ours as we get to live our lives for Jesus. As his children, he is our Father, our King, our Savior, our redemption that even draweth nigh. And so it is in all aspects of our Christianity. We drift. We drift in anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And so good, there's a Sunday morning that reminds us, no, we're to be a loving people, a forgiving people. We're brought back to a center that says, I need to remember to love people better. And we drift and we're consumed by our own lives. And boy, I'm ready for heaven, and that's all that counts, and that's all that matters, and that's all that needed. And oh, how good it is to come to a Sunday morning where we're reminded, no, you are called to go and be disciples in all the world and make disciples of all nations, including your neighbor, your son, your daughter, your grandson, your friend, your colleague. You're to be shared. You're to be salt and light. How good it is, that message. That brings us back to center and reminds us we're not just living our lives aimlessly until Jesus comes back. We're to be going out and destroying the works of the enemy just like Jesus did when he lived on this earth. You understand? So this morning, not that you don't, not that you haven't, but our inclination is at times we drift. And how good for us then to come back to a Sunday morning like this, we're reminded, oh, where are my treasures? Where am I storing up for myself treasure? Here or there? We find the areas where maybe we drifted and we get to be brought back. That's this morning. In light of the new story, I would maybe ask it this way. Are you saving up and spending all you are and all you have on sailboats, temporary thing? Please understand, I'm not preaching. Go buy a sailboat. You are free to go buy a sailboat. I'd remind you, I can't remember chapter and verse, but thou shalt invite your pastor onto the aforementioned sailboat. You understand, in light of the article, are you saving up? Are you spending all you are and have on sailboats? Temporary things, things that don't last. Things destined to end up at the bottom of the ocean. Is that where your heart is? Is that what consumes you? Are those the things that have captured your heart and your attention? Do you not have time or energy for anything else? Because those things are monopolizing your time, your energy, your effort. Or are you investing in eternal, forever, heaven kind of things? Listen to me this morning. Enjoy the sailboat, whatever that would be for you. Enjoy the good things of life that are in your life. Love life. Listen to me this morning. Don't misunderstand the message. Go for the dream. The cabin in the woods that you've designed and envisioned. Go for it. Do it. Make it happen. The trip around the world. Do it. Just go for it. Enjoy those things. But don't forget the ultimate end. The moth and rust will destroy eventually, or the thief will take it. Or maybe it's just in the end, the voice of the Father will call you home, and you'll have to simply leave it all behind. Make sure your heart isn't in those things. You don't want your heart in those things, not in the things that don't, that can't last. Make sure your heart is in heaven. Make sure your treasures are there so that your heart can be there. Because treasures there, they last forever. What we do for Christ, only what we do for Christ, lasts forever. Where are you storing up treasure? That's a good question. It's one we must ask ourselves often. It's one we ask ourselves today. Just quickly this morning, a few things. Where are you storing up treasure? It's a good question, because really, in the end, it's a heart question. Matthew 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I know we would like to differentiate the two. We would like to claim that our treasure can be here, but our heart's still in heaven. God says no. Do you understand this morning? You're arguing not with the pastor or the preacher. You're arguing with God. If you would lay claim that your treasure can be here while your heart is up there. God says no. God says that can't happen. God says that's not the way it works. If your heart is there, your treasure will be there too. If your heart isn't there, your treasure won't be either. If you put your treasure in materialistic things, your heart will become materialistic. If you put your treasure in kingdom things, that's where your heart will be. If you put your treasure in missions, you'll have a heart for missions. If you put your heart in, or your treasure in helping the poor, you'll have a compassionate heart for the needy. If you put your treasure in the church, you have a heart for the church. If you put your treasure with people, you have a heart for people. If you put your treasure among the youth, you'll have a heart for the youth. Where your treasure is, your heart's there. You must be aware of your treasure. You must be considering and asking yourself where your treasure is. Because where you find your treasure is where you'll find your hearts. Let's say it again. Where you find your treasure is where you'll find your heart. No, Pastor, my heart's for Jesus. I know. I say that too. No, my heart's for Jesus. But God says, Jesus says that in fact your heart will be found wherever your treasure is found. Our heart must be for Him. Our heart must be there. So then must our treasure. Where are you storing up treasure? We consider it this morning because not only is it a heart question, it's a stewardship one as well. God is the giver of every good gift. James tells us that. All that you have, it belongs to Him. And I know we know that, and I know we know to say that. To be honest, I'm not sure any of us live very well in the reality of that. Everything belongs to Him. Amen, Pastor. I know we know it. I'm just not sure we live it very well. Everything belongs to Him. All that you have, it belongs to Him. We'll never be good stewards. We'll never be able to handle and manage the things of God until we have internalized the reality. It all belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Your decision to follow Jesus was in fact your decision to surrender everything to Him. You don't own anything. You don't even own yourself. He owns it all. It all belongs to Him. You simply are the steward then of the good things that God has given to you. Are you being a good steward? The treasure that God has given to you. The treasure of your resources, the treasure that is your time, the treasure that is your talent, what you do, what you love to do, what you do best. Are you using it rightly? Are you using it in a way that would please God, that would glorify God? Are you using it in eternal, forever, heavenly kind of ways? Never mind just His money manager. You are God's treasure manager. Are you doing good for Him? Or is He maybe inclined to think, I need to find me a better treasure manager? Where are you storing up treasure? That's a good question because it's a hard question. It's a stewardship one. As well this morning, it's a joy question. Paul says this in 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Your treasure, your heart in heavenly things, eternal things. That's where the life that is truly life is found. Don't you know that to be true? Life is to be found in Jesus. So many of us can testify to that because the reality of our story, we tried finding life in just about everything this world had to offer, only to discover it always left us wanting more. It never fully satisfied. We tried doing things our own way. We tried this that the world had to offer. We thought life would be found in the right mate. We thought life would be found in the right job. Only if the bank account got to this number, oh, then we would really find life. All of it, at every turn, left us disappointed until finally we found ourselves at an altar, maybe not unlike this one. And we said, Jesus, forget it. I'm done with it. I'm turning my life over to you. And we discovered that he was what we were looking for all along. And he brought to us life more and better, abundant, full life than we could have ever hoped for or imagined. And all of us would have it as our testimony today. We wouldn't give Jesus up for anything. Offer me all the money in the world for Jesus? No way. And listen, I can spend some money. But for Jesus? No. Offer me the riches of this world. Offer me the things of this world. Offer me anything that the world has. And I say no. Just give me Jesus. I find life in that, contentment in that. And though I struggle along the way, mess things up and let the old man come back to life, thinking that life can be found in this or that, again, this morning, it brings us back to center as we're reminded only life, real life, abundant life can be found in the Lord. Just for a moment this morning, consider this thought in the context of giving. Just consider in the context, which would relate our treasure, we're often inclined to think of what we have by way of our possessions or our income, our money, our checkbook. When I invest in me, that's temporary. It's here and now, things of this life, worldly stuff. If I end up with my heart there in that, my heart becomes materialistic. My heart becomes greedy. My heart becomes selfish. There's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. There's no contentment found there. There's no life. There's no real life found in that. Mostly there, I live in a constant desire for more. Though I have, I want more. When my heart is consumed by materialism, I want what other people have if they have anything better than I have. I have a nice home, but theirs is nicer. I want one like that. I have a car in the garage. Oh, but it's not new like theirs. It's not big like theirs. It can't do the thing like theirs. I want what they have rather than joy and gratitude and contentment and what I do have. I'm consumed by the pursuit of more, the frustration of not having more, the anxiousness to get more. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. But when I give, whether it be to God or to others, oh, there in that, you know it's true. You know what I'm saying is the truth. I find true life. True joy is found on the giving side of life. God, who knows you better than you know yourself, said so in Acts 20 and verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We could bring the kids in here. They would say no way to that. Sometimes we're just grown up kids and we're inclined to say, Pastor, no way. But in fact, God says, yes way. Blessed. It's happy. But it's more than happy. It's happy, happy, happy. It's happy and then more happy. It's happy many times over. You'll be happy in giving more than you'll ever be happy in receiving. The more you give, the happier you'll be. And never mind just joy. There's gratitude and peace and contentment. There's life and life lived to the full. It's all found on the giving side of life. Put your treasure in the end. Listen, back to our verse. Put your treasure in the right things. And your heart will be filled then with the right things. Get your treasure right, And from your heart then will come bursting forth for you the life that is truly life. The life that is blessed, happy, 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 many times over, happy. The life that is lived to the full. Life that is lived in gratitude and joy and peace and contentment. Where are you storing up treasure? It's a heart question. It's a stewardship question. It's a joy question. It's a quality of life question. Finally, this morning, it's a heaven question. One author says this, he who lays up treasures in heaven looks forward to eternity. Our treasure not only reveals our heart, but as well our focus, our priority. Is it earth? Is it here and now? Or is it heaven? Is it eternity? I'm reminded of one missionary at a church for one more offering. Told the folks before they give, listen, 5 minutes into heaven, you'll thank me for this one more offering and one more opportunity to give. Where's your focus? Where's your priority this morning? Is it here? Is it life here? Is it this earth? Again, let me take, enjoy life here, love life here, live life full here, go for the dream, make it happen. But don't ever forget, your life here is 80, 90, maybe even 99 years. Your life there is for eternity. How good is the very best of this world and this life? A year, a couple of years, 3, 5 years, a brand new, sparkly, shiny car isn't so new anymore. That house was so wonderful. A dream come true. 10 years in. Needs new paint. Needs new furniture. Boy, I really like that house down the road. You know what we should do? We should build a new house. The things of this world are temporary. The things of this world fade away. Are you invested in making here better? Or is your treasure, your heart, considering always how we might make eternity better? Everything of this life is going, it's passing, but the heavenly things, what we do for Christ, it lasts forever. So the treasure question becomes this question. Are you living for what's going to be gone? Everything you are, everything you have you given yourself to what's going to end up worthless one day? Or are you living for what's going to last forever? Are you consumed by earth and all that you can do and would do to make your kingdom, as it were, here bigger and better? More stuff for me, bigger, better house for me, bigger, better life for me. Or are you consumed by heaven and all that you can do to make his kingdom bigger and better? All that you can do for him, all that you can do that will last forever, all that you can do that would be for you an eternal reward in heaven. Are you consumed by here and now? Or are you living for the voice of the Father? Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you living for the multitudes who would welcome you to heaven? Because you sought not after earthly treasures, but rather heavenly ones. You live not for sailboats, but rather for souls. Are you living for the crown of life? The victor's crown, the glory crown? Are you living for the Father's eternal rest and eternal reward? Where are you storing up treasure? Even if they manage to last a lifetime, the things of this world end up lost to us. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, I pray this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to us today, as we're maybe brought back to center in how we're living life. Maybe we've drifted a bit. Maybe we've forgotten a little bit that this earth is not our home. Maybe we've forgotten a little bit that the things of this world are destined for loss, for ruin, wrecked, sunk, messed up. And this morning you bring us back to center to remind us we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know what the Lord would speak to your heart this morning. I would just beckon you, invite you, plead with you, listen to him. Listen to him. Maybe it's your treasure. It's literally would be good this week, and the Spirit would prompt you this week to take a look at that checkbook. Thank God for his blessings that have made you rich. But also give his Spirit an opportunity. Listen for the Spirit to speak to you. Ah, that's too much of this world, though. Maybe it's time to invest a little bit more in heavenly stuff. Maybe it's your time. I know we're a busy people. I don't know, though, that we should ever be too busy for the kingdom of God. Maybe it's people. Maybe the Spirit would prompt you, someone this week that you could talk to and care for, make an investment in, spending time with them, loving on them. Hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Ask it like you care, because you really do care. And this morning, this week, by way of investing in them, you invest, in fact, in heaven. As you speak life and encouragement, maybe even present them with the opportunity to give their life to Jesus. Maybe it's your talent. Maybe it's something that God has given to you and you've not been a very good steward. Maybe God would prompt you by his Spirit. Yes, but how are you using that for my kingdom and for my glory? You're right. I've blessed you with that skill. I've blessed you with that talent. And wow, yes, you are really good at that. But how are you using it to grow my kingdom? This morning, church, we just come back to center. That's all. The message is not to go and any and everything good in life we're not allowed to have. That's not it. But we come back to center to see, Lord, there are areas in my life where I'm living too much for this world and not enough for heaven. Too much storing up for myself treasure here and not enough there. Father, would you speak to our hearts today, the week to come? Pray, God, that you would help us, that we make sure our treasure's in the right place, so that our heart would be, so that we'd be good stewards, so we can live the good life that you've destined and ordained for us, and so that we can set our hearts, our minds, our focus, our priority on an eternity that will one day, maybe very soon even, be ours. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.